Welcome to the RC Groups podcast with your host, Jim T. Graham.
Everyone, it is Jim T. Graham, and you're listening to the RC Groups podcast number 8. We've got a few under our belt, and my batteries are not fully recharged. I can tell. I spent last week in a pasture at Nashboro. I believe this was our 9th Nashboro, and it was out in Leaper's Fork. And I still feel a little weary from being out in the field all day and all night for 5 days. But we have a great show. I still have a few phone calls to make, but so far we've talked to Sleepy C. Now, Sleepy and I talk a lot, but man, he has been everywhere and is about to go even more places. He's headed out to Tucson. He's putting together an indoor show that's going to be backed by the Giants, Flying Giants. And he was just at a Mega Huck Fest where something very special and cool happened. But he'll tell us all that in just a little bit. And then I was like, man, I should call somebody who's out there doing it right now. And I made a phone call to Peter Goldsmith of Horizon Hobbies. And as luck would have it, Peter was on the road headed to an event. And I just kind of wanted to hear about where he's been and where he's going because he never stops. I think that I'm on the road a lot. Peter's on the road all the time, 24/7. And then I got on the phone, and I called Jason Cole. The reason I was calling Jason was to get him to talk about this new quad platform he used at Nashboro. And luckily, he's literally was standing on the flight line at E-Week at Triple Tree, which is where they hold the Jonal. You can hear the airplanes in the background, and so he talked to us about E-Week, which was great, coming right off the grass there. And then we talked about his quadcopter and how he built it, and I was curious. I saw it. I really want one. Just amazing video footage you can get. And then finally, I think what we're going to do is talk to Jim Burke. And Jim has been off the podcast a couple of weeks, but he's been hard at work with RC Groups, and we've been working on the new Maps feature on RCG, which is, you should go check it out. We have almost 2,000 locations already of RC car, airplane, just any kind of RC location you can want, we have them on our new map. And there's a lot of other features on that map that I'm going to get Jim to go over. I know he has wanted to do this for a long time. So there's all that and more to look forward to in this month's RC Groups podcast. I'm Jim T. Graham. Thank you. And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, you're listening to the RC Groups podcast.
Before I call Sleepy C at FlyingGiants.com, I thought it would be a good time to say thank you to our podcast sponsor. That is Hobby King at HobbyKing.com. I actually just got a new plane, and it's got some big, fat Hobby King lipos on it. And I love it. I also have this new little clip that tells me the voltage on the batteries, which I always wonder about, but now I don't have to. So anyway, thank you, Hobby King. Go check them out, HobbyKing.com. And now I'm going to call Sleepy C, and he's going to talk about a lot of events. Jim T. Graham, RCGroups.com, FlyingGiants.com, RCCars.com, and CrackRoll.com. How may I direct your call?
I'm just seeing if this is actually working.
Well, you're being recorded right now.
Oh.
On the RC Groups podcast with your host, Jim T. Graham.
Oh, my gosh, you got me. I was just trying to see if it was working. Apparently it is. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing good.
Ha-ha.
I'm tired from last week. I was at Nashboro for 5 days. I was primitive camping in a field.
Same thing, except for I was in Arkansas. And I was primitive camping in Josh Price's trailer, which is probably worse than a field.
So tell me about that. Where were you? What were you doing?
We went to the Arkansas Hot Springs, Arkansas Mega Huck Fest. And we had one heck of a good time. Great turnout. Once again, I mean, we did the show there last year. We went back this year. The Hot Springs Club, awesome bunch of guys. They did an amazing job of hosting another Huck Fest. And this year was the Mega Huck Fest. So You know, we just had a whole bunch of activities going on. Gave away a ready-to-fly 3D Hobby Shop 89-inch slick. Thanks to DA, 3D Hobby Shop, Fromco, just an endless pile of sponsors. You can definitely check all those out on the thread on flyinggiants.com. And the cool part this year, I don't know how many of you guys have been to big shows. I'm sure many of you have. And usually, if there's an airplane to win, the person that wins is usually some guy that was walking by the show, spent a dollar and like won, you know, the airplane. He's like sitting there in the parking lot going, what do I do with this thing? And everybody's always kind of mad about that. This year, these little Boy Scout guys came and they raised a flag for us each morning. And they did their thing and then they left. And everybody was pretty cool with them and they were really nice kids. And then we found out that they were also part of a Learn to Fly RC group that comes to that club in the mornings on the weekends. And they have the club has a few trainers and stuff and they're teaching the Boy Scouts how to fly. Well, one of the kids, he's been flying for about a year and a half and he's actually pretty good, was actually the kid that ended up winning the Ready to Fly airplane. So for once, like, it worked out. Not only did, you know, a kid win it that it was probably about 12 years old, which is going to be really exciting for him, but he actually is involved in the hobby and he could actually fly. So we were really excited about that. It was a great cap to the weekend to see that kid go home with that airplane. The smile that kid had, I'll never forget it, man. It was the biggest smile I've ever seen in my life.
I bet.
So that was really, really cool. Yeah, great week, great weekend, great fun at night. Some go-kart tracks up there are probably not going to let anybody back in anytime soon, but we had a really good time.
I heard Charlie Daniels was down there.
Yeah, they had in town on Friday and Saturday. On Friday night, they had Charlie Daniels playing, and on Saturday night, they had Three Dog Night. So a bunch of guys went over to that and had a really good time. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff to do. And on Saturday, we had Dave Matheson, Andy Argentino.
Let's not leave Charlie. I have a Charlie Daniels story.
Oh, okay. Well, hit me with the Charlie Daniels story.
I was in the long-haired country boy video for Charlie Daniels. And when Charlie Daniels walked up, he didn't have his hat on. And he looked a lot more like Santa Claus that way than he did Charlie Daniels.
You should have said, hi, Mr. Rogers. He killed Kenny Rogers.
Well, he was super nice. I was not supposed to be in the video. I was supposed to art direct it. And he said, you know, that guy should be the long-haired country boy. So throughout the video, I am the long-haired country boy.
I'm going to go and look that up just so I can check that out.
You know what? I tried to find it last week, and I'm going to have to try harder. It was used to be on this one. I forget, like CMT had it, and now I can't find it on there. But
man, that should be a priority, man. You got to find that. That's important.
My 55 Ford was in it, throwing flames out of the exhaust.
Wow. Your car was a celebrity. That's not the only car you've had that was a celebrity, correct?
That's true. That's true. The Cadillac was in a Dolly Parton movie.
Right, right. That's awesome.
But talking about celebrities, let's move right into Dave Matheson.
Right. So Dave Matheson, Andy Argentino, District 1 VP, I think, or president from the AMA. And then Jim Rice, a candidate for president right now. And another gentleman that I can't remember his name. I apologize. But all four of these guys, I think they were heading down to Texas the following day for some kind of a big AMA deal. But they had stopped in at the Huckfest, and it was really nice. We spoke a little bit, and it was really nice to see them excited about what we're doing. And they said that we're pretty much really showing the hobby, like what can be done in a positive light, making 3D and giant scale aircrafts just shine. And it was really nice to hear that. And then I got the pleasure of telling them that they were going to see something that they'd probably never seen at a fly-in before. And they kind of all stood back and said, uh-oh, what are you guys going to do? And then secondly, they said, is it AMA legal? And I said, oh, it's completely legal, and you've never seen anything like it before. So they stood around and they were kind of watching. And so we made up a story that we were going to debut a new Flying Giants logo, and that it was submitted by a gentleman that had drawn it in crayon, but we thought it was so great that we took it, modified it, and then made it into this awesome new logo. So we'd like everybody's attention. And so Joe Smith and came out and hovered his airplane and put smoke on and just smoked the whole field out. And we had two guys back behind a fence. And they started to unroll the banner, so everybody's going to think that we're going to debut this new logo. So then 66 Stang, Brian from Flying Giants, came out. We said that he was the guy that created the logo with the crayon and that he wasn't a very good artist, but just the concept and everything was so good that we had to do it. So we'd like him to come out and you know, take the accolades for designing this new logo. So he brought his girlfriend out with him, and they were standing there. And as the smoke started to clear, and you could kind of see what happened, there was no new logo. There was a giant banner that said, Beth, will you marry me? Brian got down on one knee, whipped out a ring, and proposed to his girlfriend right there at the Huck Fest in front of all the AMA guys and everybody else in attendance. And thankfully, she said yes.
Right.
Because if not, we didn't really have a backup plan.
Right. Maybe hover and smoke a little more.
Yeah, a little more and let him make the escape. But fortunately, she said yes. And I made a joke saying that, well, we're going to lose another one in the hobby. And she declared, no, you just gained one. So apparently, they're going to be the new hobby couple. And they're going to decide what they're going to do to get married. Maybe next year we'll have the first Huck Fest wedding. We don't know yet. But, yeah, so Dave and the guys and the boys there from the AMA said, yo, that definitely is the first we've ever seen that.
Man, they should get married on the 3D Flatline down at Joe Knoll. That would be cool.
And he is going to Joe Knoll next year, so that is a possibility. So, anyways, everybody at Flying Giants would love to wish Brian and Beth congratulations on their engagement. It was definitely an awesome. Thanks to Joe Smith, everybody involved, it just worked out really well. I actually have a video, and I'm trying to get a couple different angles. I'm going to put it together, and we'll have it on Flying Giants pretty soon. It documents the whole thing. So definitely check for that shortly.
Well, I'm impressed that Dave Mathewson and Jim Rice showed up because, you know, back in the early days, a lot of people don't even remember anymore, I don't think. But, you know, 3D was evil and bad and it was going to ruin the hobby. And, you know, those days are long gone. But back then, Dave was always supportive and actually showed up at one of my events, which is only 3D, the Nashboro.
Right.
And so he and Jim Rice showed up. And I guess that's a way of them saying that they are 3D friendly.
Yeah, and I mean, I know there's several good candidates for president, and I think this is going to be a really good election this year for the AMA president. And, you know, at this point, I'm not endorsing or supporting anybody. It's not our position, too. I just hope that we get the best one for the job. But I can say that Jim is there, and he said that, you know, he's watching this. It was kind of funny because as we were having this conversation, he was saying that, you know, the Giant Scale community really embraces the youth, and he's happy to see that the 3D activities and the Giant Scale airplanes are really appealing to the youth. And the funny part, while he was talking about that, there was an 8-year-old kid with his dad, two 11-year-old guys, and a 14-year-old guy killing it. I'm talking like just flying like none of us can fly, period. Like rolling Harriers on the deck, flipping like waterfalls at 10 feet, all safe, all within the AMA, you know, safety standards. But it was kind of funny because he was facing me. So as he was saying that, I kind of grabbed his shoulder and turned him around. He just started laughing. He said, "See, that's what I'm talking about."
Right.
So, it was really cool. So I don't know. I mean, it seems like he is very, very, very 3D friendly, and, you know, really wants to see the Giant Scale side of things and the 3D side really get embraced by the hobby. So, I don't know. So far, I really like that. It's pretty cool.
Well, and speaking of events, I was at my once a year I throw a big shindig called Nashboro.
Yeah.
And it's in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee, which is a town. Oh man, I think I said the 1790s is when it was founded. It's got one main street, two restaurants, the Country Boy and Puckett's. And we went down there, and I think we had around, you know, I don't want it to be a giant event because if it was too big, it would be too hard to control. The goal is to have a good time. But, you know, we had about 100 people on the ground, and we had people coming and going, and we had hot air balloons, and the pasture behind us, the Mini Cooper 4x4 was debuting. So we had this full-scale helicopter that just kept flying behind the flight line with a camera. But this is a pasture behind us. It's not, like, directly behind us.
Right, right.
And we had a good time. It was definitely a Nashboro. One of the things that was super cool is Wrong Way RC and the Balsa Store and Texas Hobbies. Man, I'm going to forget everyone. But they built this really big 60-inch Lamyak profile plane. And it was red, black, and white. And Gator from Gator Coat made all the graphics. It says Billy Hell on the wing. And they presented it to me at the show.
Oh, cool.
Oh man, it was all electric, which is a big interesting point. In the old days, man, Nashboro and profile events were always dominated by glow, and I've got to say that this event was definitely dominated by electrics. And like my plane was a 60-inch wingspan, it weighed 6 pounds and had stupid power on two three cells.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yes, 2 3 cells.
The new electric motors are just ridiculous. I mean, seriously ridiculous. They have so much power, it's unbelievable.
I brought a Sato 82 that had just been broken in, put it down on the ground with a price tag on it that you could not walk away from. I didn't want to take it home, and no one bought it. And then I talked to another guy, and he had the same motor, same price, no one bought his. And all I can figure is that electric, you know, is just starting to slowly take over, at least, you know, on a 60-size plane.
Yeah, I mean, well, with that size of an airplane, I mean, the batteries are so cheap to run now that you legitimately could have, you know, 8 packs and just keep charging and flying all day and never have to think about it. You don't have any of the glow slime and everything else. I mean, that makes that airplane, that size of an airplane, all that much more fun. Now you can toss it in the back of the car without getting your seats all slimy. And, I mean, yeah, I think it's great.
And that's exactly what it's for. It sits in the back of my Excursion, and it's sitting there right now. I've got 4 packs, so I can get up in the morning and go take a quick fly and come back home.
Yeah, if there's no thermals, because you're Mr. DLG guy now, right?
Hey, well, yeah, until I got this airplane, now I'm going to be 50% DLG. Hey, have you ever heard, forgetting of the airfoil laminar, is that it? The airfoil on the front and the back are exactly the same.
Huh, no.
So the way it was described to me is that it's always flying, and yet it's always stalling.
Hmm.
And it flies like a foamy. It just is a helium-filled 60-inch airplane. It's crazy.
That's awesome. Well, I think the power's probably helping you out quite a bit, too, in the wing loading. So, I mean, that sounds great.
Right. Without the batteries, it was 5 pounds, which is pretty incredible for a 60-inch bird.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of these, I mean, even some of the big, like, 50cc airplanes now are so light. Like, they're so big for their size, but they still weigh 15 and a half pounds. It's unbelievable. It's so much fun to fly them. But, yeah, it's been great. Good weekend on both counts.
Right. And all my coverage is on RC Groups. You can see it in special events. I took over 500 photos. Oh, I got to tell you this. Jason Cole, and Jason started out originally. Jason works for Hobby Lobby. Originally, mm-hmm. Jason was a pro bro. And through being a pro bro, he was flying with us at Hobby Lobby. He came to Hobby Lobby to fly with a bunch of us, and that turned into a job, which he's had for at least 8 years now, maybe 7 years. Right. But he walks up to the event, and he has this quadcopter. And this isn't a cheap quadcopter. He's got some money in it. And I was like, man, what you should do, we do a mass hover every day at 104. And
what is the significance of 104?
It's the first time we ever did it. I remember it was probably my first pro bro, and maybe the first pro bro. We're running up on 10 years now. And you know, a lot of people said it would never last, and it'll be our 10th year anniversary. But I at 104, I ran up and down the flight line. There's no contests at pro bro, or there shouldn't be any contests. You should only be flying. And the one thing that we do is a mass hover. So everybody who's physically able gets out on the line, and we hover as many planes as we can in one place. Some people think it's really cool. Most of the public really love it. Some people really hate it, but usually they're not there, so they've got nothing to hate.
Right.
And so it was 104 that day, and I always remembered that. And so I put the word out, and hopefully all the Pro Bro events around the country are going on. You know, they're mass hovering at 104. The other thing we do is, after, you know, we got a little bored of hovering, so we do a vertical drag race. So I count them down, and then they hit the throttle and go as high as they can to see who gets there first. I'm not sure when you decide to stop. And I guess at the 400-foot limit. And then they they start doing spirals and flat spins. So let's say the most we ever had up were 48 planes at once doing the mass hover. And then when they come down, it looks like fireworks. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely cool.
My point, which I almost forgot, was that Jason brought his quadcopter with his HD cam. It was a GoPro. And he hovered around through the mass hover, and then during the vertical drag race, he went up with all the airplanes.
Awesome.
It was awesome. It's really awesome. You and I need these things. And that video is in the coverage on RC Groups for the NASHBRO.
I checked it out. It's a really cool video, really cool angles, too. And the funny part is when it starts, you really don't know what's going on because it just seems like there's a camera sitting on the ground.
Right.
And then some wind kind of starts happening, like you think there's a breeze floating by, and all of a sudden the camera just takes off. And kind of, I was like, whoa, because you didn't tell me what it was at first, so I didn't really understand what was going on. And all of a sudden the camera's 20 feet in the air, and you go, oh, okay, I got it. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. Definitely pretty cool. So, well, we got a bunch of other stuff coming up, too. Flying Giants, we still have one more Hawk Fest in Lodi, California. And it's going to be good. It's in a couple weeks. It's October, I think, whatever the hold on. October.
Oh, wait. 15th. I have to interrupt you.
Yes, sir.
At the end of that video,
yeah.
If somebody goes out there and watches it, you'll see me approach. It'll land, and you'll see my big Billy Hell plane that they made for me.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened there was I was on the mic, blah, 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 and then a guy crashed his airplane into my new plane.
Oh, no.
And I went from that to, hey, what the what? You know, and luckily it wasn't damaged, but I was so into the fact that somebody had just hit my airplane that I didn't see that Jason had landed his helicopter, and he's filming me approaching the bird.
So
I don't remember him being there. That's me going over to see what happened to the airplane.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember the ending. That's funny.
And I totally interrupted what you're saying, and I apologize. So,
that's all right.
Lodi, California.
Yes, October 13th through the 16th, and that's going to be the California, Northern California Hawk Fest. Beautiful place. It's an old drag strip. It's got real, like, this drag strip was one of the original drag strips where guys, like, in California were hot rodding. Like, this is where it came from. So it's really cool, giant open place. You can't get better area. You couldn't hit something if you tried, except for the ground. And, you know, it's one of the West Coast ones that are out there. So all the West Coast pilots, all the FG guys, anybody that – you don't have to have a giant scale plane either. Anything you got, just go out there and huck it with the guys and have a great time. You can find out about all the information about that on flyinggiants.com. But it's the second year there. Last year was a great show, and I expect it to be good this year as well. So that's coming up. And then actually today there's some developing news, and this is really pretty cool. The Huckfest series has always been outdoors, and the giant scale kind of revolved around giant scale. But the reality of it is everybody up here in the north and east coast and midwest and stuff, winter starts to creep in, as it is today here for me in Ohio. And, you know, in the winter, we usually do building season, and then you end up flying foamies indoors and a lot of the electric stuff. So a lot of foamies, you know, foamy fly-ins take place, and they're pretty popular. You have the JR Fest, you have E-Fest, and a few other ones. One of the local guys, Chris Justice, and a guy named Scott from the JR Indoor, or JR Racing Team, started a fly-in last year called the Holiday Electric Fly-In. And they found this place here in Ohio. It's probably the biggest facility I've ever seen in my life. It's brand new. Somebody invested like $60 million into this. And when I tell you that it's like two or three football fields with 100-foot ceilings, you could literally fly 40-percenters inside this facility. It's just unbelievable. So they put together a show last year, and it was really successful. It was really fun. It was really cool. So I was talking to them this year, and I said, you know what? We should bring some of the vibe of a Huckfest and bring it to your show and make it the first ever indoor Flying Giants Foamy Huckfest. They love the idea, so we're finalizing those details right now. But it looks like the first week of December, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we're going to do that. We're going to roll these events and make it into a giant FG Huckfest Holiday Electric Fly-In and get all the guys out there and have a really good time. So we're pretty excited about that. Ben Fisher from 3D Hobby Shop has a whole line of foamies, and I think he's going to be jumping in and doing some stuff with us. So you know when FG and Ben and all these other guys get together, you know it's going to be a really good time. So watch for the information. I'm sure it'll be on Flying Giants, and obviously we'll get some information on RC Groups as well. It'll be a big family reunion kind of thing in December. So mark it on your calendar and wait for the info and the details coming up. It'll be really, really cool.
And that's not the only big thing coming up. Tell them what you're about to go do.
And I am going next week to Tucson, Arizona for the 2011 Tucson Aerobatic Shootout, where the best of the best of the best come from all over the world, including Australia, Germany. I don't even know how many countries are represented this year, but they all descend upon Tucson, and they throw down with knowns and unknown IMAX sequences where one snap can determine who's a better pilot. And then finally, on Saturday and Sunday, they also do the four-minute invitational freestyles, and that's when the best of the best throw down and just really let you know how good of pilots they are. And I will be there Wednesday through Sunday working 16 hours a day to bring every bit of coverage I possibly can to FlyingGiants.com. We'll have photos, videos, and if I can get any other type of media, we'll do that as well.
Now, we have a primary sponsor that's helping with that, right? Who are they?
We sure do. It's Performance Aircraft Unlimited, and he's really excited. Hervé from Performance Aircraft Unlimited, which you can check out at www.flypau, that's FlyPau.com, because Gabriel Atus, who is an amazing pilot from Puerto Rico, is sponsored by Performance Aircraft Unlimited, and he'll be campaigning two of his airframes at the shootout this year. So definitely watch for Gabe, and we want to thank PAU for helping us get there. And Herbie's going to be there this weekend too. So if you want to meet the man behind Performance Aircraft Unlimited and you're going to be at Tucson next week, definitely stop over there and say hi to him. He's a really cool guy. And you can also meet Gabriel Atus and watch some amazing flying. And again, go ahead.
What other heavy hitters are going to be there?
Well, of course, Mark Leesburg, who seems to disappear and then all of a sudden shows up each year for the shootout. Rumor has it that he's trying to become a professional golfer. Like, he's trying to get his PGA card. So he's out there golfing all year. Then somebody reminds him that he's the world's best RC pilot. He picks back up the sticks like 2 days before the event and then just wins. So you have Mark Leesburg. Andrew Jeske is definitely going to be there. Gernot Bruckman's going to be there. Gabriel Attus is going to be there. Seth Arnold's going to be there. Frank Knoll's going to be there. I mean, it's the big hitters, man. It's everybody that you think you'd ever want to see fly. They're going to be there doing what they do best, and it's going to be great. Can't wait. And also, you're in the middle of the Saguaro Desert in Tucson with the giant cactuses and the beautiful mountains in the background. I mean, you can't ask for a more scenic place to do an aerobatic competition. So, like I said, we'll have it all on flyinggiants.com starting Wednesday of next week.
Is there any more? I mean, that's quite a bit there, Sleep.
Well, actually, we're going to move over to rccars.com, and we have a whole bunch of stuff going on. The site's really been picking up. The activity's been great. We have a new speed forum on rccars.com that's really taken off. It's all the guys that have these cars that they're modifying beyond belief to make them go as fast as they can. You always hear these guys talking about rumors about their cars, like, my car goes 95 miles an hour, when realistically it does like 40. Well, these guys are actually making cars go 95 and 110 and 130 and 160. But the thing is you will see how much work it really needs to do to a car to make it go that fast. You're not taking a motor and slapping it in one of these cars and just putting it on the ground and going. I mean, they're changing the chassis, the suspension. They're creating and vacuum forming new bodies and molding them and tweaking them and doing all these different things. And then getting special tires with different compounds made so they don't explode at the speeds.
Right.
So, I mean, they're just putting tons of work into this, and their whole objective is just to go fast. We have one guy that's chasing the 200 mile an hour mark, and he's getting there. I think he was up to like 169 or something with a car, and it's just incredible. And so as that forum is growing now, you have guys taking in different classes like micro T's and mini T's, and like we have like a 35 mile an hour mini T or something on there.
It's got to be that, you know, they make 60 mile an hour mini T's.
No, or what's the tiny little guys, like the little 120?
Oh, the micro T, right.
Yeah, I'm saying like the little tiny guys that like right. Shouldn't even, you drive on your desk and these things are going 30 miles an hour. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So that being said, we have a new review coming up. I just got a new toy. It's the Thunder Tiger MT4. It's a giant monster truck. It's a brushless monster truck, four-wheel drive monster truck that just out of the box is so much ridiculous fun. I have a teaser up right now on the site. If you do a search for Thunder Tiger's MT4 review coming soon, you can just see a couple of review shots or a couple little teaser shots and stuff. And I can just tell you this thing is so overpowered and ridiculous that it's going to be fun. We're going to get it out to the track, and it's touted as a great basher, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to bash this thing hard. We're going to jump it off things and see how much abuse it can take. But right now I can tell you that the motor that it comes in, it's a brushless motor with the brushless ESC, and it takes two S-packs in series, making a 4S-pack. And the speed this thing has for the size of it is just unbelievable, and the torque is just great. So we'll have a full review up of that. And then once we get done with the review and we're done bashing it, I think we're going to go ahead, and then we're going to try to join the speed forum and see how fast we can make one of these big trucks go with the big wheels. It's going to have to be some modifications and stuff because the tires balloon up so big the way it is right now that's not going to work. So we're going to get into it and have a little bit of fun and see if we can get join that whole speed forum and see how fast we can make this truck go. So that's all coming up in the next few weeks as well.
I want to drive that truck at Joe Knoll.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to bring it down to Joe Knoll. And I'm working on a few other things. I think what we're going to do is we're going to try to have a couple other trucks that we're going to be able to bring out, custom painted up for RC groups and Flying Giants with some big flags hanging off of them. So we're going to be able to drive up and down the flight line. So, yeah, we got all kinds of cool stuff in the works. So definitely watch out for that. And when you get a chance, check out rccars.com. We pretty much have new stories up every single day. Lots of guys are posting some really cool information, new product releases, anything we can get our hands on, we have up there for you. So if you want to, make it your one-stop shop for RC cars.
Well, while we're doing all this, we might as well not stop now. In the special events at RC Groups, you know what's happening right now, Sleepy? Speaking of Joe Knoll.
No, what's going on?
It's E-Week at Woodruff.
Oh, that's right.
September 29th, October 1st, and there is a thread on that in the special events section at RC Groups. In fact, I'm going to go through all the events here on the special events section. Hodges Hobby Electric Fly-In, October 13th to the 15th. And that's, of course, where Seth lives. Or Seth. Mm-hmm. Seth. Seth. Then, right now, I'm having an MKS Servo contest. This actually is interesting to you as well, Sleep. It's two contests in one. You can enter one or both contests. And... clicking on it right now to learn a little bit more, even though I'm the guy that wrote all this up. The first contest is to create a slogan using MKS. So your slogan could be Mighty Killer Servos. And we're going to have three prizes for that contest. And it's a DS10 or 1009 servo, three of those. Or you could win two DS1210 servos. Or you could win two DS... Oh, wait. Another set of 1210 servos. And then we have a second contest, which is you create a 450 by 110 banner that promotes MKS servos. And then they have a whole lineup of servos. You get to pick what you want. A DS760, BLS980, a DS660A+, or a DS670. Sleepy, have you seen any of these MKS servos?
I have not in person. I've been checking them out. I've noticed that the company's kind of doing a good push, and they seem like they're getting some good responses, so I'd definitely like to check them out. But I have not seen them in person yet, no.
The profile they gave me at the Nashboro was loaded with MKS servos, and these guys use the best, so evidently they thought highly of MKS as well.
Cool. Well, I look forward to checking them out. I'll have to check out that plane.
And some of those servos are car servos. That's why I say it has a little bit to do with RC cars. I'm going to put a breadcrumb ban over there to let your people know what's going on.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely make sure those guys know about it. And then I know you're probably going to talk about this later, but I thought this was just the coolest thing, so I want to just make sure everybody knows that I love it. You had forwarded me that link to the map section on rcgroups.com, the new section with all the car tracks, flying sites, hobby stores, and boating sites. And I have to say, that's one of the coolest features that you guys have added to rcgroups.com, and to this, the whole family of our sites. The ability to go to a map and just like look and see all the different flying sites all over the country, zoom in and find a spot near you if you're traveling. I was looking at Ohio, and I've lived here for my whole life, 40 years, and I knew of maybe four sites. I click in and jump onto the map. I open it up, and there's like 50 in Ohio. And I mean, they're paved runway, ridiculous, amazing flying sites that I never knew existed. And now, thanks to this application, I'm like, wow, there they are. I'm going to go check some of these out. So, like I said, I know you're probably going to talk more about it, but, man, that's such a cool feature. I think everybody needs to jump on there, check that thing out, look around your home area, and if there's a flying site that's not on there, please add it. That's the cool part, is the users have the ability to add flying sites. They are approved by moderators, so, you know, spam's not going to be tolerated, which makes the thing actually really, really useful. I think it's an amazing feature. I'm glad to see it's up and running. It's cool.
And to find that, right now we have an ad at the top of the site. It's not an ad. It's called a breadcrumb. It's a small little ad that I use, or a graphic I use to promote certain things that we're doing, and you'll see the map button there. And the thing that blows me away, I actually am the guy that approves all these things, and currently we're at 1,970 locations, and yeah, that is 157 boating sites, 119 car tracks, 1,223 flying sites, and 471 hobby shops. And the crazy thing, and the thing that I enjoy, is when you see somebody post a link to an airfield in the middle of Italy, or in the middle of South Africa, or, you know, out on an island in the middle of the ocean. It always blows me away.
Well, yeah, that's the coolest part, is it's not U.S.-based, it's global. It's the world. So, I mean, if you're traveling overseas and you're for work or something and you want to stop and see if there's a flying field or a car track or something, you can look in that area, and sure enough, man, you might find one here or there. So it's really cool that this is working the way it is.
And it didn't exist. I went on a cruise early in the summer, and we went to South America and around that area. And I thought, man, how sweet would it be if I could find an airfield and go out and fly and take some pictures, you know? And this didn't exist. If it had existed, I could actually go out and see if there was a place for me to go. Like I see right now, there's one in Jamaica.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I think we need to convince JB that we need to go to Jamaica and check that one out.
We'll go on the maps tour.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds great.
We'll be done in about 40 years.
If we went to one a day. Yeah, right. Pretty much.
Right. And then to finish my list here, we also have Nashboro coverage and special events and the Neat Fair September 16th, 17th, and 18th. So that's over, but the coverage is all up there, photos and all everything that people uploaded to share with you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Well, awesome. Sounds good, man. I look forward to hopefully seeing you at one of the shows coming up. And I don't know. What else is going on? Nothing?
That's it. I mean, as far as you and I have to talk about, I'd hate to think if there was anything else left, because that's quite a bit.
Yeah, it is quite a bit, but I'm looking forward to it all. So hopefully we'll see some of you guys out there at Tucson next week. We'll see you in December at the big indoor Huckfest. And, well, whatever else is coming up, we'll see you out there. And then, of course, always check FlyingGiants.com, RCCars.com, and all the other sites that we love to go check out each day.
All right. Hey, Sleep, I appreciate you talking to me, and have a great weekend.
You too, man. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye. Next, we have Jason Cole. Now, it's going to get a little digitally. I don't know if many of you use Skype, but sometimes the words will stretch. It'll sound a little funny. I can't fix that because, as it turns out, when I called Jason, he was at a location that is notorious for sketchy cell phone bandwidth. And you'll find out where that is in just a second.
Hello?
Jason Cole, are you busy?
Hey, I'm just getting ready to fly. What's up, man?
I just want to take 4 minutes of your time.
Okay.
You're live on the RC Groups podcast.
Well, hey, everybody.
I like that airplane in the background. That is a nice touch.
Yeah, it was a Hobby Lobby Panther taking off.
Are y'all all at the field right now?
Well, I'm on the flight line at Famous Triple Tree.
Oh,
at E-Week. We're having a ball.
Sweet. I totally forgot you were going down there.
Yeah, I've got my Dago Red Racer getting ready to get plugged up, and we've been clocking that sucker at like 136 miles an hour.
Well, tell us about it. You're at E-Week at Triple Tree, which is where Joe Nall is held, and Sleepy C and I were just talking about that. Is everyone on the main flight line, or how's it handled?
They've kind of got it set up like Joe Nall, so this is the second ever, I guess, E-Week. The first one was not advertised. They just wanted to see if people would show up, and so this is kind of the first official E-Week here at the Nall, and they're running the Breedy flight line, the Park Flyer flight line, the main flight line. They've got the heli guys, a field way out in the pasture out there. This place is huge. If you've never been here, they've got float flyers,
1,000 acres,
microplanes flying in the pits. What was that?
1,000 acres, I believe.
Yeah, 1,000 acres. This place is amazing. They've been cutting it every day, so the grass is like carpet, man. You can walk on it barefoot, have a good time. It's just beautiful out here.
Well, is it packed up? Is there as many people as you would expect? How's it looking?
It seems to be like every day we're doubling the attendance. So we got here on Wednesday. Not a lot of people here. I think they had, you know, school and work and vacations are used up, so people are planning on coming out for the weekend. And Friday here, man, we've got the flight line is pretty full. We've probably got 200 pilots or so. I think they're expecting about 400 plus tomorrow.
Wow.
So it's pretty good turnout.
Wow. Are you taking
some
photos?
Got a lot of vendors on the flight line selling stuff. We're taking photographs. We're shooting video. Neil flew his quadcopter with a GoPro on it, and we did kind of an entrance driveway down through, following it in the truck, and we're getting some GoPro footage. There's a lot of planes out here, big stuff, little stuff, fast stuff, vendors selling all their wares. Pretty cool show, man. We're having a great
underwear.
Time.
That's hilarious.
From a Spree model just landed this giant 5-meter, some kind of ASK-21 glider with the up-and-go pod on top.
Boy, I feel like I'm missing it.
You guys are missing it.
Hey, the reason I called was I want you to tell everyone out there a little bit about that quadcopter you flew at Nashboro.
Yeah, so it's kind of a home-built quad. You can buy the frames separately from hubberthings.com. It's called the VC450. And I've got four of the ERC 480 size motors on it. And you're running 10 by 4.7 props, and you got two pusher props, two tractor props. The main control board is from OpenPilot. It's called Copter Control Board. It's an open source, nonprofit, you know, organization that makes these boards, essentially sells them for cost. It's like $95 for the control board that is the three-axis gyros, accelerometers, all the stuff on board. Really fancy stuff with a great computer interface to set it up and to tune it. running ERC 25 amp speed controllers. Those guys run at 400 hertz. It's a super fast refresh rate that these quads need to be able to maintain quick response and stability. So basically the auto level, if you take your hands off the sticks, the thing goes level automatically by itself and stays there. Really nice. Just got a simple GoPro mount on the bottom of mine, so I had the, you know, the camera on there, and was able to mix it up. It's pretty agile, so I can get out of the way quickly if a plane's going to hit me. I can punch it. I can outclimb any of those profile planes with it, with four of those motors on a 2-pound craft, so it's just ballistic vertical, and pretty nimble and maneuverable if I need to get out of the way. But we were able to run around through some of the hovering profile planes and kind of go up with them on the vertical drag races and get some really cool footage.
And once again, you can find that video in the special events section on RC Groups and the NASHBRO coverage. Well, that was cool. I really was impressed, and I really feel like I need something like that.
Yeah, it seems to be one of the most popular forums on RC Groups is the multi-rotor helicopter section. This segment is growing big time. Hobby Lobby's, we're getting involved. We sell a lot of the parts that go with them. We're looking at frames and figuring out what we're going to do as a package. But right now we sell the ERC motors and controllers are working awesome in these things. Guys are loving that. Got batteries, props, you know, all the little bits and pieces that you might need for it. But man, this thing is, it's definitely taken me by storm. I'm working on my second quad now, and I'm just loving it.
Well, that, and then I want to strap on some VR goggles so that I can see what my cameras see. Would be very cool for event coverage.
Totally. Can do some FPV with it, definitely.
All right. Well, I know you're busy out there, and I think it's super cool that you're coming to us live out of the field at the E-Week on the Joe Nall Field, and I appreciate you taking a little time and talking to us.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys. Have fun, everybody. I'm going to go fly now.
All right. Bye, Jason.
All right. Bye.
Hey, everyone. We've reached the middle, maybe a little bit past that, of the podcast. I just wanted to say thank you to Hobby King at HobbyKing.com for being the podcast sponsor. I can't believe I'm not at E-Week. There were just too many events around. You know what? I hear Jim Burke PMing me. It might be time to give him a call and talk about the new feature on RC Groups. I'll be right back.
Hello.
Are you ready for the weekend, Jim Burke?
I am.
Good.
Am I being recorded while I say all this?
Of course you are.
Oh, then I'm ready for a very normal weekend.
Fracas of a weekend?
Just standard weekend. In fact, I'm actually going to be golfing this weekend.
Golfing. I have a question for you. Sometimes when I mow the lawn, I wonder, do you mow all of the property around your house?
No.
Okay.
No.
You seem like an active guy. I was like, I just can't see Jim out there mowing.
You know what? I have hated lawn mowing and yard work my entire life, but having bought the property, I'm getting into it a little bit, but not enough to actually do it every week or anything.
Right.
The occasional thing I can do. I can enjoy it. But it just seems like the perfect example of a drudgery.
It seems like a complete waste of your life.
Because it's, dang it, I know my mythology is better than this, but what's the name of the guy who rolls the boulder up the hill and
right.
Back down?
There's a user with that avatar. I know it well.
I can't remember. Well, anyway, somebody out there. Probably there's like a dozen people out there listening to this podcast right now that are shouting his name. And if they would just shout louder, maybe I could hear them. But we just don't know who it is. But that person, that's who it feels like, because it's one of those examples of tasks where it just keeps coming back and you never get done.
I keep threatening to buy a riding lawnmower, but when I push mow the front and backyard, I seem to really work out a lot of issues. I'll come up with good ideas and things like that, so I refuse to buy a riding lawnmower.
Yeah. My problem is all my ideas get me in trouble. I don't think lawn mowing is a good way to...
Right. Well, speaking of ideas...
In a shower. I would say shower and also checkout line.
Checkout line. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm always just listening to people and checkout line.
Checkout line. I sometimes have, like, I'll be working on something, and then I feel like it just clicks when I'm in a checkout line. Isn't that weird?
Wow. I'm always trying to figure out what's going on with the celebrities and if any of it's true. And then by the time I come to a conclusion, it's too late.
Yeah, that's right. Well, all right. So what do we have to talk about? You called me for a reason. It must be the podcast.
It's about the maps.
We never talk unless it's the podcast, and it's about the maps. Oh, good. I love the maps.
Well, you know, we used to talk, but you're very busy these days.
Busy. Yeah, I know. I know. Now you have to get my secretary or something. I was thinking we should do a little play next time. I will have a female answer and explain to them some of the podcast.
Excuse me. I'll put him right through.
No, I'll be too busy to do something ridiculous. And that will come for the next podcast. We'll be like, well, what ridiculous thing is it going to be? But I don't know.
We could push it for weeks.
Yeah.
Jim Burke on this week's podcast.
Yeah, that's all you'll get. You won't get anything else. Now he's, you know, taking Matador lessons or something.
I could see you doing that.
Luchador. That'd be better. So the maps are awesome. I was just today, this morning, coincidentally, hanging out on the maps and browsing all around and looking at what the northernmost RC field in the world is. And I would tell you the name if I could pronounce it. It's in Iceland.
Uh-huh. I saw when that came in.
And Hlutmálsfjall, Akureyrar. I don't know. I don't know how you pronounce it, Icelandic, but there it is. And then I can go from there, so I can click on it. And I can right-click and say zoom in, you know. That's right there. And then I can change the satellite view, and I can see the terrain. I'm sure there's a little runway there, and I can go to the tools button, and now I can go and find all the users near this place. And I find three people near that place. So there's not a lot of RC Groups users at that particular field in Iceland. I don't really know that it's actually a real field, I guess, but it looks like one from the satellite map. That's pretty neat. I don't know if that particular one has a lot of utility. That's at 65 degrees north. That's the northernmost RC field in the database right now. We've got about just under 2,000 places in there, and we haven't really gotten anybody on filling it up in earnest. It's mostly just the users adding everything, which is really cool to see that. And then you go down to, it looks like Argentina maybe is our southernmost. What do you think? That's at 41 degrees south. So anyway, pretty cool. I bet you somebody is flying RC airplanes somewhere in Antarctica. We should definitely get them to put a spot on the map. We should find that person, Jim, and make sure they put a pinpoint on that map so we can see where they are.
Well, Sleepy C and I were talking about possibly doing the maps tour.
Okay.
We hit every RC location on the map.
You mean personally?
Yes. We cover every location. We figure 40 years.
Yeah, I would think it's going to be a long time. Do you ever think about how long it takes to read all the posts in the RC Groups database?
My gosh,
didn't we do an ad? I think we did an ad on that back when we were doing print ads. We worked it out, and it was something like, well, we realized eventually, you can't catch up. It doesn't even matter. You'd have to read, because you couldn't conceivably read one faster than it takes for one to be left. So, it's escape velocity. So, that's why, and that explains, boys and girls, why we don't moderate as much as you might like sometimes, why we sometimes let things go through, because there's a lot of stuff going on.
That's we'd have to have a mega computer.
I just had to have a lot of people, and that costs money, and I'm cheap.
Well, here's what I want you to talk about. First of all, assume that they don't know anything about the maps feature. And then, after you get them into the maps, tell them all the cool stuff they can do when they find a location they want to visit.
First of all, as a former professional radio person, I want to make sure that you didn't hear me stick a sip of soda while you were asking that question, because that would be really bad.
If I didn't hear you what?
Did you hear me stick a sip of soda?
Oh, no, I did not. As long as you don't go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Which my mom does do a lot.
Actually, my office is the bathroom. It's great here. So what's that talking about the maps? Well, look, you go to RC Groups, and you can click on the maps link up in the top navigation bar, which, by the way, is a good place to hide things I've found. A lot of people seem to be asking things like, where are their regional forms? That's also up there in that spot. I don't know how you missed that. No offense to anybody. But you just click on regions for regional forms and maps for the actual map, and you get a nice big Google map. And we have boating sites, car tracks, flying fields, and hobby shops in there right now. We've kind of got with a really simplified user interface to make it easy for everybody. And we're adding some features, kind of getting people used to them as we add them. On the left side, you can also jump to where your location is if you set your location in your user profile, which you should, because there's a lot of features you get out of that, and we're growing. So those features. And you can change the zoom level real quick. And basically, you just browse around this map. It's a Google map. I think most people understand how that works, because a lot of people use Google Maps because it's one of the most useful applications on the internet. Frankly, it's the greatest thing ever to me. I get a lot out of that. And you can just browse around the whole Earth and look at all the different flying fields and car tracks and all that stuff. You get details on them and get weather forecasts for those places and directions to those places. And that's what the maps do. It's an excellent new feature. And we have Brad Kessler, one of our newest hires. Actually, I think it's been a year now. Boy, time flies. But he's done a lot of good things for us. He did the recent attachments pages and some things in the blogs, and now he's doing the maps as well.
I love that I can get weather. So let's say that I'm going to Ceph. I can check my weather there. I can also get my directions there.
Yep.
And then I just clicked on Nashville, which I don't think I've done before. And I love that I can see all these users who live around me. Crazy. Are you eating soup?
No, I'm having burger and high C. I'm having high C with a straw.
Right.
Best
so
thing ever.
Our goal is to break 2,000. So if you're out there listening, jump on the map
our,
link.
Our goal is to have every map location, but our immediate goal is to have 2,000. Yes. We're only 30 away this morning. So
and I know Sleepy C was I jumped on this morning. He was on there uploading locations, so he's trying to help us out.
Yeah, we probably got about 1,800 and some just from initial. We had like 1,000 almost right away from initial launch. Just people started adding stuff, and right now, you guys are trying to get all the AMA clubs in there to make sure they're all in there. I think most were in there, by the way, but there's probably some missing. So. We want to make sure we get all those. And I think that's the neat things we're going to do with all that data. We're hoping to make more powerful regional forums and regional lookups for classifieds in your area and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be some neat stuff.
Also, if I were having an event, I would totally link to where my location is.
Yeah, you can do that. You can link to the RC Group's location by going to the tools menu for the location, and then there's the first link is direct link to the place, which will let you share a link to that exact spot. And we're actually working on integrating some more stuff in here, so you'll be able to get like an events page and a calendar for each place, but that's going to be down the road. We're not quite ready to release that. We haven't worked on that, but that'll be out eventually. So lots of ideas related to this feature for sure.
Right. Is there anything coming that I'm not aware of that you guys are working on?
Well, we're always working on stuff, and we're certainly not going to tell you about it.
Just tell me when it's out.
No, we do have some things we're working on right now. I'm trying to remember what they are. I think you actually do know about everything. Well, a lot of it's moderation stuff. And, the thing that we're doing now is making it just better. There's, as you pan across the map, it sometimes flickers a little bit, and just little things like that. It's going to make it look a lot smoother and run with better performance. So that's what we're actually working on right now.
You know what I hate?
And also, go ahead.
I hate when you click on the ocean by accident and it says we're unable to locate this point.
Yeah, I need to get rid of that. Sorry, we're unable to locate this point. Is that every time you click the ocean?
And to me, I do it at least 10 times because I'm in here twice a day looking at new locations. And it just pops. I'm like, hey, I don't care about the ocean. Although there are a lot of flying fields. Like, I just saw one in the middle of the ocean. Where was that? There's one in Hawaii. Yeah, there's little islands, you know. You can't see it until you see the little green. Jim?
This Jim.
There we go.
That was the most painful disconnect I've ever had.
That was crazy. It was like a robot war.
You should keep that in.
Oh, I did. I talked through it.
Yeah, but that way people will understand why we had to make the call back. Well, if there's, I'd be interested in, maybe we should kind of point out some of the cool places out there. If you've got some island that has a RC feel, I think we should do something to make call some kind of attention to that.
Right.
And I think the northernmost and southernmost places are kind of interesting to people. We should maybe make a blog entry and kind of highlight them, give those people that use that site a chance to talk about it.
And a lot of these are in totally foreign languages, you know, so the fact they're utilizing the site and, you know, found that we have a map page and speaking Russian or whatever it is, it's because a lot of these, there's nothing on there I can read. You know, I have to assume that's an airfield.
Right. Right. Well, that's a good point. I mean, some of them might not even be real because somebody can go in there and put anything they want, but we do make people add a description. We try, the moderators do try to verify all the points.
I'll look at every one of them.
Yeah.
Is anyone else? I think that I've seen every location. I've approved every one, so.
No, Haley does some as well. I know some.
Does she?
Other mods, yeah. Yep. You're not entirely alone. I do some as well. I did enter quite a few. Well, probably a dozen when we first started because it's just a place I've been. I needed to be on there.
I'm very proud of my maps work as far as just approving things.
Yeah.
Because I know that every little spot represents not only the guy who submitted it, but a club. And 30 years ago when they started the club. And so I know that every dot represents a whole little facet of our hobby. And I don't know. Yeah. I think it's really cool.
You know, it's another one of these features that we did and didn't know how it would take off. And we just let it out there, and all of a sudden, you go in the next day, and wow, people are really enjoying it. We had some debate before we released it whether people would really get into it.
The funny thing is when I first started working with you, this is maybe not this exact concept, but this is one of the first things you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm slow, aren't I?
Well, it took a while to figure out how to do it, you know?
Well, the funny thing is I have pretty much the same list of things I want to do that I have when you started. It's right. Pretty close. I haven't done enough, so we're going to have to work on that. But that's a matter of having people that are talented who can do the kind of development work that that I used to do for RC groups, but that moved on from. And Brad is really great. He's doing a good job. And Mike is, of course, awesome, but he's forced to do most of the admin work because we need someone to work on making the servers faster, making sure they don't crash and all that kind of stuff. And Mike has gotten so involved in that and does such a great job there, probably no one even realizes there's somebody doing it.
Which is great.
But he's just too busy to do a lot of development work. So we've got Brad going. We're hiring more people to do more stuff because there's a lot of people using the site. It's insane. And we've got to get, I think we've got to keep making new features and get people more things to share.
Would you want to use the podcast to talk about any positions you're looking to fill?
Well, we are. Well, sure. I hadn't thought about it, but we're trying to find an artist right now, somebody who's very talented be nice to have some experience in the hobby industry, at least in the hobby, and who really understands CSS cascading style sheets and HTML and all the stuff we need. And somebody who can take a thing like this maps program and design the interface when we're talking about some new feature, make that design, and then turn it over to a programmer for developing. But the artist would have to really lay everything out to begin with. And that kind of person's hard to find. It really is.
So, is there a location requirement for that? Can they live anywhere?
I don't think so. I think the days where we've worked remotely with everybody, you know, new hires, it's getting harder and harder to do because the kind of work we're doing now, in this area anyway, you know, we just need to have people that we're talking to for this kind of work. You know, when it comes to making content, that's not so critical. And I think it works really well for us to get people spread out all over. The moderation and the you know, the content generation and you and I are not near each other at all most of the year. But I think that works really well because we get an exposure to different parts of the world, and it helps. But this sort of stuff, we need to have a team that's built, and that means somebody has to be here in Corvallis.
Right.
Beautiful sunny Corvallis.
It is beautiful. It's just not so sunny.
Do you know that Corvallis is the number one bike to work city in the country?
I'm sure it is. I've never seen so many people on bikes.
I know. Yeah, it's really
all so the signs. Like
if you like mountains, bikes.
Shaggy people.
Shaggy. I was trying to find a way to say you hit hippie. The right word. Yeah, I didn't want to say hippies. I don't want to say hippies, but yeah, shaggy. Well, shaggy people because they're not necessarily hippies, right? They're just shaggy. That's all you really know when you see them. You can't make a judgment that they're hippies.
A lot of children, because I have kids in school now, assume that I'm a hippie, and I'm not a hippie.
What's wrong? Nothing wrong being a hippie, but that's just not who you are.
Well, technically, I'm not. They also, a lot of people assume I'm a hillbilly. And I'm from Texas, so I really can't be a hillbilly either.
That probably stings a little. The hippie one probably doesn't.
Redneck, I'm not so... I don't really take offense to that so much.
You know, rednecks don't.
I grew up on a farm, and you know, most people I really, really love dearly are rednecks, and they don't seem to mind very much when they joke about being a redneck. It's kind of a part of their sense of humor, as far as I've seen. I've never seen anyone really take offense at that.
I'm going to give you brief history right here, because I am a history guy. I'm Scottish and Cherokee Indian. The Scots lived in the mountains of what is Tennessee, but back then was North Carolina. And during the war with Britain, things were kind of going bad. And the Scots finally got in the fray, and they wore red bandanas around their neck to signify, you know, so they wouldn't shoot each other on the field, which was actually in the mountains. And they kind of turned the tide of the war at that time. And so that's where the term redneck comes from.
Is that right? I'd never heard that.
That's true. So it's not even a bad term. It used to be a thing that people were really proud of.
Huh. All right. Well, there you go. History lesson for the day.
Yeah. About rednecks. Is there anything going on in your flying life that we need? Any new airplanes? Any new RC stuff?
No. I'm not really. I got somebody who might be interested in buying Russian Thunder from me, and I'm really thinking about getting it out of my hands.
It's just one step closer to our road racing career.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really torn about it, but yeah, I might be moving on from that, and I'll buy something to replace the S-Bach, because the S-Bach was just a great machine. And right. So is Russian Thunder, but they're very different animals, and with the lifestyle I have, it's probably a lot easier just to hop in something and push a button and fly than to have to deal with the radial engine. But I would miss that. So I don't know. That's about all that's going on, really. Honestly, I've been playing golf the last couple of weeks. That's what I've been doing. It's nice weather here still, which is a little bit unusual. Right. And I just got into golf this summer, and I've been enjoying it. So I've been working and golfing.
Man, thanks for taking time out of your busy day and talking to us. And I'm excited about the maps, and I'm sure everyone else is out there.
Great, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Talk later,
to you
Jim.
In a month. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hello?
Pete Goldsmith.
Yes.
Are you rolling?
I'm rolling, man. Rolling down the road. Come on, Pete.
Everyone, we're on the phone with Pete Goldsmith of Horizon. What is your official title?
My official title is the Field Marketing Manager for Horizon Hobby.
Okay.
What that means is I manage all our marketing in the field. So all the events, all the donations, anything to do with external marketing comes by my desk, including the team as well. The three teams, Kelly, Air, and Seth.
And that has a lot to do with why you're rolling. Pete and I are friends in real life as well as in the RC life, and we're also Facebook friends. And because of Facebook, I've come to realize you're on the road all the time.
Yeah, that's it's kind of good and bad. I mean, it's a great job. You know, I'd like to be with family a little more, but the family's very understanding. And this twofold for the reasons I travel. One is that I'm often involved in the events that I travel to as far as a primary sponsor. Not me personally, but Horizon, and I'm representing that for Horizon. And the other reason, perhaps even more important, is that it's an opportunity for me to meet and hang out with my team guys, which most of them are very good friends of mine. And you can't hang out with 200 people all at once, so the way I do that is travel the U.S. to, you know, meet them and hang out with them and share, you know, their interests. And that's one of the reasons I'm involved in so many tasks for the hobby.
Where are you headed to right now?
I'm heading to the OVS S-Series season closure event. It's called the Fall Roundup. It's a thermal duration series held in the Midwest. Horizon's a sponsor of that. And it's a very successful series. It promotes newcomers to soaring, and we support that. It's kind of a cool event. It has what's called seeded man on man. So if you're winning the rounds, then you get to fly against other people that are winning rounds. So you can't scam the system. If you're a good pilot, you're going to fly against good pilots. If you're an average pilot, you'll fly against average pilots. So it's a good event. Very successful. It's been going for 8 or 9 years, I believe.
And then where did you just come from? I know that you were at an event.
Well, we could go back about 4 weeks. I think we started, let me think now. I kind of, as soon as I finished the event, it erased my memory pretty quickly. I went to, well, we actually, it was a personal trip. I went to Reno, and unfortunately, you know, it was a terrible disaster there.
All right.
Steve Stricker and I drove out. And however, you know, the trip was about the road trip. Steve loves road trips, and so do I. So, you know, other than the tragedy, we still had a good time. And that's back on the way. We stopped off at Speed Week, and for you engine heads out there, you know what that is. That's the big Bonneville Salt Flat races, and that was spectacular.
Oh, that sounds great. I'd love to go.
And then we actually had a whole motor racing scene going after that. We missed the Reno race, of course, so I get back from that, and a good friend of mine who's a NASCAR driver invited Steve and myself to come and watch the Chicago race on Monday. Because it was washed out on Sunday, we happened to get back in time to go and see that. So we had just the best time. We set up in the crew sheet box and hung out in the motorhome and, you know, got to cheer on my buddy. So it was a really, really good weekend from that perspective. And then I got back from that Tuesday, and then I left for Warbirds Over the Rockies on the Wednesday, which is up in Colorado. And that was a fantastic event. I've never been to that.
Right.
And Brian Amira and the gang invited me out there many times. The first time I'd been able to attend that event. And I really enjoyed myself. I mean, I went out there on a kind of like scout mission, go and hang out with my team guys, check it all out. And I just got treated so well by the Colorado boys. It was really enjoyable. We're looking forward to going back next year. And that kind of closed out about a month of travel, and now I'm heading to Muncie, as I mentioned. And then next week I'm heading back out to the West Coast to the Tucson Shootout.
Ah, you'll see Sleepy C. He was just on the phone talking about it.
I will see. Sleepy, yeah.
Hey, I have a story for you. You know, we the last time I saw you, I was in Champaign visiting Horizon, and you were at the jet rally there at Eli Field.
Yeah, nice local event.
And you were trying to help me visualize thermals.
In the rocks. Yeah, I remember that.
Right. And so a couple of weeks ago, right after that, I went back out. I have a field just 2 miles from my house, and it's probably on a 30-acre lot. And I was out there throwing, and I knew there were thermals around me. I could just tell. And then I saw the shadow of a bird go right next to me. And I landed the airplane. It was a vulture. And he was cruising the field for thermals. And I thought, I'm just going to watch this guy and see what he does, you know?
Uh-huh.
He's about 20, 30 feet off the ground, just not flapping, just cruising. cruising, and then he caught one. And when he caught one, he rocked up at an angle and then just started spiraling. And he didn't go up real fast, but he slowly went higher and higher and higher until he was gone.
Right.
And I was like, I get it. I never really got it until I saw that bird do it. And the next time I threw that airplane, man, I jumped it up in a thermal and actually caught one as soon as I, you know, left, you know, right after my toss, I threw right into one. And then I cranked it over, and I went up and up, and I didn't go as, you know, super high, but I was like, well, I get it now.
Yeah, the first time you catch a thermal, I remember, man, I was a kid, and man, what a thrill. And I still, that thrill is still there today. And hand launch will teach you more about thermaling than any other form of thermal RC flying. Because it's, you know, you've got to read a lot of ground signs, like birds, as you mentioned, wind shifts, bugs, birds feeding on bugs. Often the thermal will lift the small bugs off the ground, off the crops, and you'll see small little swallows feeding on those bugs. And that's a great, you know, search icon to go chase. So I just got back from Bruce. Actually, that was what I think we were talking about. The Bruce was before I went out to Reno. And, you know, it was my first real competition hand launch event, and I had a blast. I mean, those guys are really, really good. I thought I was somebody throwing to about 140, 150 feet. At, you know, the top 10 guys, they're throwing over 200 feet. So I got some some more technique to develop on the launches. But the thermal part came pretty well, and I got some good rounds. Yeah, hand launch is great.
And that launch, you know, what I've come to realize is the higher I go, the easier it will be to find a thermal.
That's correct. You want to be, you know, we probably need to go and spend some time together. But there's a few things I could teach you that I was taught that will instantly, you know, give you another 30, 40, 50% at launch height.
Right.
And they're just things that you don't know until somebody shows you.
Yep. Well, I would love to do that. I'm going to carry this thing with me to Seth and Joe Nall, so maybe we can.
Fantastic.
Seth would be a perfect place.
Seth, I'm going to bring mine to Seth for sure.
Hey, a big question I have. I've been on the road for 8 years, but I space mine out, and lately I get to space them out more because Sleepy takes up a lot of the slack of other shows that I would have to attend. But man, when I come back from an event, let's say I'm at Joe Nall, it's you get up. And then you get out with, or at least I do, I get out with my camera and my video camera, and we run around like crazy people trying to cover as much as we can. Then we have to get back in the trailer, find a signal, and upload as much as we can. And then at some point, you got to figure out when to eat and
go to the bathroom
and go to sleep. And then you start all over again. And I'm not saying I will say it's hard. It's great fun, but it's hard work. When I come home, I'm not only tired, I was talking to you about this, I'm emotionally drained. You know, I've talked to, let's say, 1,000 people over a weekend. That's a lot of output. How do you go to an event and then just jump from that event to another event and then just keep it up? It'd be like being on the road, you know, with a rock show or something.
That's a great question. There's a few things. I pray a lot. It keeps me peace and comfort that, you know, life's in the right place. I also try and rest when I get home from an event. I try and, you know, get some good sleep and just spend some time with the family and try and get modeling, you know, out of my day-to-day as best I can. That's hard when you work at Verizon.
Right.
And I also do things in the hobby that I like to do that still lets me be a modeler. You know, if you boil it all down, I'm still a modeler. I'm no different to anybody else. I love to fly model airplanes, and I love to compete. So I race the unlimited giant-scale airplanes. That's my thing. That's my hobby. And just having that focus, you know, can't wait for the next race. How can I make more power in the engine? What kind of aero changes can I make on the airframe? You know, that keeps my mind fresh, and I don't get burnt out on all the other segments. I love to do all the other segments. If I didn't do this job, I would probably, you know, narrow that down to one or two that I really enjoy. But, you know, you're absolutely right, though. It is emotionally training. And the other thing is, you know, I try and not be somebody that I'm not really. You know, I don't put on a mask that I'm a certain person out in the field, and then I'm a different person when I get home, because that's going to get old and very, very tiring. And I think that's what a lot of people, you know, make the mistake. They try and be somebody that they think you need to be or want to be. And ultimately, you know, the mask will get transparent over a period of time, and then they see the real person, and then they stress about that. And so, you know, I am who I am, and I try not to waste a lot of energy, you know, behaving in a way that may be different or the way I normally wouldn't behave. So that keeps, you know, at least my workload a little bit lower. And you can't please people all the time. I mean, you're going to have conversations that are challenging. It's, you know, people will crash and they're embarrassed they crash. And, you know, often they just need to vent. And if I can be there and let them vent, then that's great. I've done my job.
Right. You know, you said something to me at a show. I was trying to talk a girl into getting up on stage with us she was going to shake the tambourine and backup sing. And you said, Jim, don't make people do things they don't want to do. And I was like, man, I've really not thought of that before.
Well, you're a lot like me. You get enthusiastic about what you're into, and you want to have everyone else enjoy that enthusiasm. And often, you know, people just don't share the same enthusiasm about things that you and I might share them about. So I say that because I used to do that, and I'm certainly not smarter or wiser than you. I said that I've experienced that many times. I think my wife will attest to that. Many times I've wanted her to do stuff. She's like, you know, I really just don't want to do this.
Right.
I've learned to just accept that. You know, it's okay. It's not like they don't like you or they don't like what you're doing. It's just not what they want to do.
Well, it pops in my head now. It actually, I will hear it go off when I'm doing it. Did you see? I think I opened up. Oh, man, I'm going to get the magazine wrong. But they had a picture of us at CEF. Pete and I play in a band, and we play at CEF and Joe Nall. And
right.
I opened it up, and I was like, my daughter's 10. So I said, come here, you got to look. Your dad is in print. With a guitar in his hand, which is even cooler.
Yeah, well, the band is, you know, one of those little anti-burnout projects that I think you and I enjoy. You know, we get to do something we love to do, play music, and, you know, that makes Seth and Joe Nall, you know, more fun.
Or, right. And everyone else seems to really enjoy it, too. If they didn't, I wouldn't do it, but they seem to really like it.
They seem to, which is strange, but who cares?
Right. Like, you know, they say we're the hardest working band on the internet, and we only get to rehearse once before a show.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing when you think about it. I tell you, there's some maybe I'll exclude myself from this conversation, but there's some great talent in the band. Johnny D and Chris Hinson and Blair, my goodness, those guys can really sing and play well.
Right. It's too bad we don't live near each other. We could be in a full-time band.
Yeah, then I think it would be a job and we probably wouldn't enjoy it.
Right. Good point. Well, you know, I was recording, I was going to call some people for the podcast, and I thought I should call somebody interesting who's out there right now, and I figured, I didn't even know that you would be on the road. You just happened to be on the road, so I appreciate you taking some time out and talking to me.
Yeah, I will, Jim, and I'm not sure when we'll see each other again. I'm not sure what your next adventures are, but I'm pretty busy until Thanksgiving. I've got the West Coast kind of series, I call it, the Tucson Shootout. There's another event out there that I'll do, and then I get back from that. Then we got iHobby, and then I go to Cancun with my beautiful bride. We're going to spend a week there relaxing, and then I think I've got a large jet event down in Miami. I'm going to hang out with my buddies down there, and I think that's it for the season. Then I'm just going to pack it all in and hibernate until the next adventure.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Thanks for talking to us, Pete, and be careful out there.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, Jim. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that is podcast number 8. I want to thank everyone out there who takes time to download and listen to the podcast every month. And I want to thank everyone who will actually answer their phone and talk to me and be on the podcast. Check back next month. We'll have another one fresh, ready for you to listen to. And thanks to our sponsor, Hobby King at HobbyKing.com. I'm Jim T. Graham. This has been the RC Groups Podcast.
RCGroups.com, the world's largest RC website.